From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Gloriously Secure Amid the Storms of Life, part of his exposition of Romans chapter 8. Paul began the chapter by stating the believer's position in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He then proceeded to demonstrate the truth of this statement by a number of arguments. He emphasized the believer's justification, his sanctification, and his adoption. His final argument is the Christian's glorification. The ultimate destination for every believer in Jesus Christ is heaven. This gives the child of God much assurance, particularly in times of suffering. Times of difficulty in a believer's life sometimes cause doubts to arise. However, Dr. Cairns will remind us that we are to look at our circumstances in the light of our faith, not the other way around. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 4. The ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kine. Pharaoh's dream has too often been my waking experience. My days of sloth have ruinously destroyed all that I had achieved in times of zealous industry. My seasons of coldness have frozen all the genial glow of my periods of fervency and enthusiasm, and my fits of worldliness have thrown me back from my advances in the divine life. I had need to beware of lean prayers, lean praises, lean duties, and lean experiences, for these will eat up the fat of my comfort and peace. If I neglect prayer for never so short a time, I lose all the spirituality to which I had attained. If I draw no fresh supplies from heaven, the old corn in my granary is soon consumed by the famine which rages in my soul. When the caterpillars of indifference, the canker worms of worldliness, and the palmer worms of self-indulgence lay my heart completely desolate and make my soul to languish, all my former fruitfulness and growth in grace avails me nothing whatever. How anxious should I be to have no lean flesh days, no ill-favored hours! If every day I journeyed towards the goal of my desires, I should soon reach it. But backsliding leaves me still far off from the prize of my high calling, and robs me of the advances which I had so laboriously made. The only way in which all my days can be as the fat kine is to feed them in the right meadow, to spend them with the Lord, in His service, in His company, in His fear, and in His way. Why should not every year be richer than the past in love and usefulness and joy? I am nearer the celestial hills. I've had more experience of my Lord, and should be more like Him. O Lord, keep far from me the curse of leanness of soul. Let me not have to cry, my leanness, woe unto me. But may I be well fed and nourished in Thy house, that I may praise Thy name.
Sure.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
You can think as Paul teaches you to think, It will help you immensely as you go through life. He understands that pain and suffering are very immediate, and they're very personal, and they affect not only the organ or the part of the body that is constantly or at that moment under pain, but they affect the way you think. And it is natural for us when we are afflicted or we're suffering to begin to look at God's truth through the lens of our suffering. To interpret truth according to our experience and according to our feeling at that given time. And Paul is arguing here that the ultimate reality is what he has just been announcing. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And it is in the light of that ultimate reality that we must first interpret every circumstance of life, however distressing or however painful. We must interpret every circumstance of life in the light of that ultimate reality, that we have no condemnation as believers in Christ, and we are certain to receive eternal glory. And the second thing that we must do is, in the light of that ultimate reality, we must interpret indeed the whole history and mystery of God's creation. Look at verse 17 at the end of the verse. I'm not going to go over what we did last week, but you'll notice we're joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That we may be also glorified is in order that we may be also glorified. The suffering is in order to glory. And the importance of that linking statement there is that therefore our suffering in this life is not inconsistent with our acceptance before God. There's no inconsistency between our suffering on the one hand and our security in Christ on the other hand. And the reason for that is given in the verses that follow. Verse 18, he starts, "For I reckon." Now, this is where I wish I had a whole lot more time than I have. I reckon. Will you please underline that word? Will you get it into your consciousness? I reckon. This is one of the great words of Romans. You see, Paul, though he was inspired, and this is inspired scripture, yet he was a man. And when those stones hammered against his body so that he was left for dead, he felt every blow as you and I would feel it. And when the thorn in the flesh came to him, and he cried out to God three times to take it away, and God did not answer that prayer except to say, "My grace is sufficient," he felt the disappointment. He was a man. When you get in 2 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 11, you get the list of the sufferings and the agonies and the distresses that Paul entered into. You'll realize that very few of us have ever known any suffering comparable to that of the apostle. Sufferings of body, sufferings of mind, suffering in the emotions, suffering disappointment from brethren who let him down in a crunch. But through it all, he said, "I reckon." Christianity is a thinking religion. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not intellectualism. It's not theorizing. It's not playing mind games. That's not Christianity. Nor am I suggesting that thinking takes the place of believing. What I am suggesting is that thinking is a vital component in believing. In other words, you know what you believe. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." When Paul said, "I reckon," He's not denying the reality of the suffering, the intensity of the pain and the disappointment, but he's saying in the midst of all the stresses and struggles of life, one thing as a Christian I've got to do, I've got to take the great truth of the gospel and set it before my mind. I've got to fill my mind with the truth of the gospel. I've got to think through the truth of the gospel. And then I have got to look at my circumstances in the light of what I believe. What I know of Christ, what I know of truth, must govern my reaction to the circumstances and the sufferings of life. I reckon, that we would learn to think. It's why for almost 25 years now, as the minister of this church, I have labored not to preach what for me will be the simplest message. I will be very honest with you. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'll be very honest with you. I have no difficulty getting a 3 or 4 point outline, all beginning with P's or F's or C's or D's or whatever. I can get that in 5 minutes. And having the Irish gift of the gab, I could fill half an hour, maybe more, with those things. And I have books and books and books of all the illustrations and stories, the funny ones, the sad ones, the historical ones. I have all those. Preachers have those things. And there are times they're useful. Not condemning them. But all through these years I have labored to lead you to grasp the great central truths of the gospel of justifying grace. What it is to be in Christ. I am told, there will be a smile on a certain face when I say this. I'm being rather oblique deliberately. I am told that I have been criticized for being somewhat hypocritical. Because I'm told I have, from this pulpit, preached against feeling. I don't know when I've ever done that. And at the same time, I'm accused of preaching with feeling. So I'm a hypocrite. Let me tell you, I preach against preachers drumming up feeling, working people's emotions for their own ends. And the people go out and tomorrow morning they'll be like a wrung out rag. My desire is that people would get such a grip of great truth, get such a vision by faith of the glory of the person and work of Jesus Christ, that that would stir their emotion. That would stir their feeling. Because I want to tell you, that will be a fire that, like the one at the burning bush, will burn, but it will not consume. Any other emotion will burn you to ashes. Paul says, I think, I'm thinking, I'm reckoning. My desire is that we may learn in the troubles of life to take what we know of the gospel and think it through so that you seek by the grace of God to bring your feelings and your circumstances into line with God's truth. You do not reinterpret God's truth in the light of the way you feel at a particular moment in time. Now, I want you all to set your watches back a half an hour because I haven't intended to say any of that. That's not on the menu tonight. I reckon, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, of the creation. Let me just give you what he is saying here. That word expectation, that earnest expectation, literally is keeping watch with the head erect. Never losing sight of what you have in mind. It means, I suppose, more literally, waiting in suspense. Keeping the head up, the eyes open. The whole creation is looking with suspense for the manifestation, for the apocalypse, for the revelation of the sons of God. And the waiting, the word there has the idea of its eagerly waiting. So let's take this. The earnest expectation of the whole creation is eagerly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God that is in their glory. You see what Paul is saying? He's saying, look, if you're suffering at the moment, the sufferings that a Christian endures are not penal. They are not the penalty and the curse of sin. They are not the judgment of a God who is unreconciled to them. They are not of the nature of the judgment, the pains, and the sufferings of hell. A Christian may be chastened. The word chastening in English is a word that means purifying, making pure, making more chaste. The word that it translates from the Greek text when it is used, for instance, when Paul uses it, writing to the Hebrew Christians. No chastening for the moment is anything that we feel we want to welcome. What he's saying there is, he's using a word that means the rearing and the developing of a child. A Christian may suffer. And what is happening is that the Father is not only purifying our lives, but He is maturing our lives, and He's bringing us to the place of full development as the sons of God. But it's not the wrath of an unreconciled God. Remember, for the child of God, suffering at its very worst, while it may represent the hatred of hell and the opposition of the devil, suffering at its very worst is never more than the hand of a loving Father in heaven, purifying us, but more than that, preparing us for eternal glory. So they're not penal sufferings. Furthermore, the suffering of the child of God is inconsiderable in comparison to the glory that is to come. Now, let me back off here for a moment and say it's very easy for me to say that. In all the years that I have lived, I have not suffered too much physical ailment. I've had some pain, and I don't like it any more than you do. But, as an eye doctor told me the other day, telling me what was going wrong in one place, he said, they're disgustingly healthy. So, I realize it's easy for me to talk. I've known people who have lived all their lives with intense physical pain. I've often mentioned to you the young man that I met in my father's veterans hospital ward, the outskirts of Belfast. Not a young man anymore, actually. He was in his 70s by this time. But as a very young man, a Norwegian who could speak no English, wrecked in a burning ship off the coast of Britain, was taken to hospital in Belfast and lay there from the age of 20-something years, all those years, and couldn't move anything from his head down. A Christian man. So it's easy for me to say, you know, the sufferings of this life are inconsiderable compared to heaven. But I don't say it glibly. But it is true. It is true.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.